the Dayton Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytonConfidential.com. On today's show, we are at the final and third part of our Best and Worst podcast for 2015, so stay tuned. Biggest ho-ho-ho of 2015.
Oh, that's easy. Stitch on Y&R. He's been
good
all
choice.
Up in the same family. And I think he even had a little chemistry with Grandma Nikki the first time that they got together.
Yes, he did.
So that was an easy one. So that's him.
And
yes.
I'm keeping it in-house, bitch. And what?
Jillian?
Biggest ho-ho-ho. I'm going to go there. Abigail Devereaux.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jillian, why are you and I like telepathically linked at the moment?
Yeah.
At the moment. Not with that.
That's what I said.
Yeah, but why is she like ho ho ho? She only
Abby Horton. Abby Horton.
You cannot wait to screw Chad inside the house. You got to screw him out on the lawn. Who
make
does
you
that? You can't do it in the garage.
You want to make you a ho?
What do you mean that does not make? Oh my God. Totally, Mike,
Mike, you need to be more ho-ish.
You know, Mike sounds like he is more than ho-ish. Mike will take and bang you out in the garage with the damn door up with everybody. Nasty. She couldn't even wait until at least they get in, like, the servants' quarters. She a ho. She a ho. She can't sit on my couch.
Sarah?
I also had Abby for, again... the patio furniture sex, then she still wasn't enough to satisfy her. She goes up into the house, does it with him there, then goes home to Ben. Born Ben, the super, you know, the serial killer. And I let's also point out that she slept with EJ, so she was keeping it in the family with Chad, then EJ, then back to Chad again. And
they're Italian.
I mean, it's just, you know, and it's also she's the most annoying kind of hoe because she doesn't own her hoishness. Like someone like Brooke on Bold and the Beautiful, where you're like, well, get it, girl. But Abby's always like the, oh, you made me cheat with you by being hot. It's not fair. And you know, she doesn't own her stuff. And
right.
And that's why she is so irritating, and that's why she is my, hoe of the year.
Yeah, I mean, Abby, own it. Like, when you're going to bust it wide open, own it. Own it. She just popping and dropping and then trying to play all innocent. You a hoe. You can't sit on my furniture because you're probably scoping it out for your next lay. Nasty ass.
Mel?
I have Ivy Forrester on the Bold and the Beautiful. I sure did. I sure did. She did all that one limb, and then he went back to Stephanie, and then she was like, oh, okay, Wyatt is good, because, you know, that's his brother, blah, blah, blah. Now she kissing all over Thomas. Ho. Holy
wait a minute, but she ain't Jamie. Fuck Thomas. Now she
so,
fine,
give her a week. She'll do it.
Oh, it's not abuse. Look, has Ivy not suffered enough? Stephanie Barbarella looking ass threw her into an electrical board.
Jillian? Or not Jillian, Jamie?
My biggest ho-ho-ho are Dante and Valerie. The shame of it all for you to take your wife's cousin to bed in that little Murphy bed in the hostel room that y'all share together. Right in there where little Rocco plays Legos. You know, ain't the breeze the room or nothing. Stanking up the place, hunching right there in the living room of Lulu's little hostel room. I just can't with them two. Nasty, nasty dogs. And then got nerve enough to try to tell Lulu it's her fault for going to try to save her crybaby brother. Ought to be shamed.
I mean, my she's biggest a Spencer, she's a Spencer, and he's a Corintho. That's Carl. That's Carly's cousin right there.
My biggest ho 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 is also Abby, but as I mentioned earlier, I like to call her a Horton instead of a Horton. Okay. Glittery hoo hoo of the year. Mike?
Will Horton.
Okay.
That boy was all over Southern California, as we found out.
Just Brian Singer's pool party.
Rampantly cheating on Sonny, and he seduced Paul to get the story. So
I
always said that he is the boy with the glittery.
Jillian.
Wow.
We are going to ignore Jamie's comments on fisting.
Wait a minute. Why can't we ignore him?
Will was like, it's that nigga that put your fist in.
Nasty. Y'all both nasty.
Jillian?
Both nasty. Glittery hoo-hoo. Now, I got confused. Is that a... No, never mind. That can be anybody. That's not gender neutral, right?
Well,
it is gender,
female.
Actually.
It is, because magical penis is for men.
Oh, so glittery hoo-hoo then? Oh, then that would have to be Steffi Forrester. I mean, she got them jumping and jiving around her. You know, even though Bill is supposed to be my Katie, I'm like, don't make me grab that sword and stab you, you bitch. You got Liam acting like a dumbass. You got Wyatt acting like a jackass. Shoot, that girl, she just shocking and jiving over there, literally.
Sarah?
Steffi, B&B. And my whole thing is, you know, you got the glittery hoo-ha when other women are like talking about how hot you are, which in her case, Quinn keeps talking about that again and again. I think she wants a little of that action. And, you know, Liam wants her. Wyatt went on like not even a date with her, and he still is sort of like wanting her. And it's just, you know, she keeps killing people, getting away with it. You know, it's just, I mean, she, and for being the CEO or, you know, whatever, the head of the president of the company, and wearing over the knee boots and booty shorts to work.
Hey, get it, girl.
That was awesome, but it was not a workplace thing, but it looked hot.
No.
Not for the office. If she was
no, not for the club. Office, no.
When your name is outside the door, you can wear what you want.
Hey. Yeah. For fashion, that was a bit much. But it was just like, you know, she's the one that everybody wants. Like, you know, even though she does have...
She don't have it that great because she got to fix the damn company's electrical problems.
Yeah, I know. And she does have, I'm going to say, one of the worst weaves in daytime. But,
what,
you know.
You know, has to go down to the basement and wait on the repairman. I'm like, okay.
We don't see Rupert Murdoch going into fire. Hey, gotta go check
now
on that breaker. Okay.
But it's also the opposite of what they would do is have a like someone with no background in that watch. They'd have just like put orange cones and yellow tape and blocked it off.
They would have evacuated the whole building and been like, we have an electrical issue, folks. They wouldn't have sent the damn president of the company down there. What is she, vice president? I don't even know. Oop, I better watch these sparks so don't nobody come get a slick idea to it.
We don't know Oprah in own buildings. Let me guard this panel because of Spock and Chow. Like, who does that?
You say.
Mel.
It is a 3 feet. It's my baby Steffi because y'all know it glitters and glows and might even spit out a little bit of water. Who knows?
That was awesome.
Mel, just on fire today.
Amy?
It is Abigail Devereaux. I'm sorry. But Abigail told me to tell y'all Steffi is all that, but ain't nobody killing over her nanny. Abigail told me to tell you her poo nanny is so good that it drove a man to kill up half of Salem.
Well, mine is Sabrina Santiago on General Hospital because a few Kegel exercises and one word to Michael and he gives up his vengeance against Sonny.
Prince wrote a song about it. Pussy control. Michael, I want you to get that baby back. No. Ooh, tighten it up. Oh, okay. Baby going back tomorrow, Sabrina.
MP, Magical Penis of the Year, Mike.
Thomas Forrester. I feel like they're turning him into a manho, and he's you know, screwing around with Caroline. He's screwing around with interns. He's screwing around with Ivy. I just think that, you know, he has some sort of attraction, and I don't know, you know, what he's packing, but there must be something about him that keeps the girls in his yard.
Okay, Jillian.
Oh, that has to be Stitch. Stitch, 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 Stitch want to stitch you up, and hoes want to be stitched up by Stitch. Stitch got a whole family just climbing and fighting over each other for to be with him.
Sarah.
Okay, I'm going with Victor Newman because his retcon magical penis got Adam out of prison because of Jensen, you know, his retcon cannon. So that was, you know, that was years ago, and it still had that power to free a man from prison.
That's
so
awesome.
You know.
Yeah.
I had Stitch too because he Ashley wanted him, the baby wanted, Abby wanted him, everybody wanted him. Hell.
Jack. Jamie?
You said Jack, you asshole! I just heard you! I heard you!
Jack. Silly. I've been on this podcast a lot. I'm stir crazy. Carlos, I'm sorry, but Carlos told me he came back from the dead and was somebody daddy. You know, Carlos didn't even sleep with Teresa. And Sabrina. And he the baby daddy. It's like, they will have to do a retcon to show the love I made to Sabrina. You know, so it's like, dang, bro, you've been dead for months, but you the baby daddy. Carlos is it.
Mine is Dylan McAvoy on The Young and the Restless, because not only does it solve crimes, it's so magical it makes Sharon believe the child is hers. Most in need of a love interest, Mike?
I said Jennifer Horton. I know there's a bunch of them, but, you know, Jennifer is just, you know, walking around the hospital carrying files, or she's at home. She doesn't even know Abby's missing. And I feel like somebody has to smack her across the face with a and take her up and get her back in the groove.
Jillian.
Jesus.
It is. Jennifer Rose Horton. I mean, she's just sitting home with all of her 50 cats and don't know her daughter is out there popping and dropping and busting it and fussing it wide open for nobody. She needs a little love in the afternoon. That's probably why she is so uptight. She needs someone to knock the dust off that thing.
Mel, or Sarah, sorry.
Jack had to wait for a shipwreck to get at it. So
I'm going with most in need of a love interest, Jordan, on General Hospital, because since Sean has been sent to prison, although he may be freed soon, she has just been sitting there worrying about Valerie and Dante's love life instead of getting someone of her own. And, like, look at her. She is one of the hottest women in Port Charles. She should have men banging down her office door, begging for a chance to be with her. So I want to see her get some.
Mel?
Brooke Logan. She needs a love interest. She needs to be hunting somebody
yes,
somewhere.
Lord.
Come on now. That's when we like her. She does her thing. So I'm here for it.
Jamie?
Ashley Abbott. And yes, she's in a love triangle, but I feel the rooting value is for Abby and Stitch, and, you know, Abby seems a lot more likable in this equation, because as much as I like, I thought that Stitch and Ashley had, you know, a little hot romp in the Jabot shower that time, but I never thought, ooh, destiny for Abby, I mean for Ashley, whereas with Stitch makes Abby a better person. He helped grow her up, and I think that Ashley should just make the sacrifice and find a more suitable mate for her. I feel Eileen Davidson is one of the biggest, most iconic stars in daytime. She needs her own A-story, larger-than-life love interest. She needs, we've been talking about some of these names, but they need to recruit a Ted King, or, you know, some big watt star, Grant Alexander, to do a big splashy, you know, love story for, you know, a woman of a certain age. You know, you've got those shows out there like Bravo's Girlfriend's Guide to Divorce, and they're just doing such wonderful storytelling with, you know, a woman at a certain age recreating her life and being sexy and having business interests and friends. And I want that for Ashley, not, you know, snirking around her daughter's man and then being a bitch to everyone about it, because that's basically what we're getting now. She's like, okay, to try to make everyone think I don't like Stitch, I'm just going to be really nasty to everyone. And that's not Ashley. I kind of feel that sometimes, because of all the ping-ponging back and forth between days, that Ashley gets lost in the translation. And, you know, they try to make her more Kristen DiMera-esque. And Ashley is not supposed to be this just hard-assed, growl at everyone type character. And I think a good romance might solve that. I mean, even if it was somebody already on the canvas, you know, somebody unexpected, you know, maybe they could revisit Ashley and Kane, because he definitely could use some support.
See, that is, like, that is who I would like, Ashley and Kane, because when there was one episode where, like, he dropped by her office or she dropped by his, and the chemistry.
Yeah, they've got to do something with Ashley other than this. I really want Stitch, so I'm just going to be mean about planning their wedding.
Okay, mine is Neil on The Young and the Restless, because...
Not sitting in the pity ain't good enough for you.
No. No. And you pretty much summed it up. Most in need of role in the hay, Mike.
Wow, this one goes to Brooke Logan. This was a no-brainer. I don't care whether Brooke has a love interest or not, but she needs to have a man strapped to her back.
A man who takes
or a woman with a strap on.
Singing opera from that bedroom.
No. You're getting real vulgar up in here now.
Brooke Logan is strictly dickly. We ain't finna have no instantaneous homosexuality for Brooke Logan. We ain't finna do that.
Julian,
most in need of a roll in the hay. Oh my God, I have a three-peat here. Yeah, I'm pulling a Luke. It is Brooke. She need Carter to just peel her like a grape. Like, can you imagine? Never mind. Okay. Brooke, it is also Jennifer. Jennifer just needs someone, again, to knock the dust off there. She is just so, like, that you open her legs, they just creak. Just, because no one's been down there. Like, it's just so, And Laura Spencer, Weber, whatever you're going by today, child. She needs someone to crack her back and fast. She just...
Oh. Not a chiropractor.
Yeah, she just... I mean, I'm glad... Now, don't get me wrong. I am so glad that she outed Liz and her trifling ass. But, it was all up in Liz's business. But Laura needs some love. She needs to stop minding what her chilling doing. It needs to be a point where Nicholas runs to her mom and needs to talk to you. Boy, not now! Raheem fit to come over here or something. Like... Ugh, especially after all of being sat out with Luke's old self all them years, too. She needs some love.
Sarah?
I, too, echoing Jennifer Horton, needs it so badly. She needs to unclench. She needs to release. She needs, you know, I mean, I'm for her, like, hooking up with, like, a hot bartender for one night or something just to, like, relax a little bit, you know? I mean, someone, you know, I mean, it's true, like, all of these, like, days women who are, like, half of a super couple and the men have left, they've just sat around, you know, pining, like, you know, like, when, I mean, Kayla did it with Patch, all of these things, and I'm like, go out and have a life, have some fun, it makes the characters so much more interesting, and God knows Jennifer particularly, especially needs it, because at this point she seems like, you know, like a school teacher on Little House on the Prairie level uptight, and it just needs to stop.
Well, maybe she just needs to go into the big woods.
Good one, Luke.
Yeah.
Well, mine is Plum Creek.
Mine is the same as my most evil love interest, Brooke Logan. It's not the Bold and the Beautiful. Brooke is not getting her back blown out. What is going on? Somebody just need to wear that out one good time, and I'm here for it.
Jamie,
Paul Narita on Days of Our Lives is like, since they started shipping off the gays and killing off the ones that stuck around, his ball sack is bluer than Smurfs 3. You know, they need to get Paul laid. That guy, Christopher Sean, is sex on a stick. You know, I'm sorry. I never wanted, you know, I defended days when people first started doing the whole, there's an agenda to get rid of the gays. I was like, no, no, no. But now I'm like, well, you know, it does seem kind of blatant. It's like they need to get somebody on Paul. And I vote for Joey Johnson. Mm. I don't know how old the character is on the show, but the actor is old enough in real life. He's over 18. Joey should be gay. He can't date Sierra or Claire because he's kin to both of them. You know, Kayla is Sierra's aunt, and she's Claire's great aunt. So, sorry, this ain't Bold and the Beautiful, Joey. You can't sniff around either one of them. So, he needs to be interested in baseball. And Paul shows him his bat.
So,
I saw that movie.
Mine, I'm going to put a caveat on it. I don't want to see this on screen, but it does need to happen. Caroline Brady on Days of Our Lives. Because it's about the only thing that's going to stop her stupid visions.
You know what? You need to sit somewhere and just rock back and forth.
She
don't
stopped having there. The visions when Bo brought back the elixir. You know, Bo and Robin Scorpio, they be solving stuff. They the mysteries. They like diagnosis murder, you know. But ooh, I don't want to see that. You better quit putting that out in the universe because I think Josh might write that.
I said off screen. Mm-hmm. Mike, read a book. Dumbest character of 2015.
Wyatt Spencer. There's just a lot of reasons. This poor guy is just led around by his mother.
Not a fan of puka shell necklaces, are we?
I mean the He just strikes me as, you know, I always thought Liam was the dumb one, but, you know, Liam is actually just Liam. He's just kind of quirky and
no,
funny.
Liam,
Wyatt,
dumb.
Just, Wyatt, it's just, to me, he's just stupid. He's got the seconds of all of his brother's girlfriends, and he's, you know, got no control as a Spencer. He has ideas that he wants, then he just can't get off the ground, and all he does is just whine constantly, so he's just dumb.
His muse is gone. Oh,
Jillian?
Logan.
What are we on? Read a book. Dumbest character.
Yep.
Dylan McAvoy. Yes, you are solving cases for the Negroes, but you don't know that your woman is locked up in jail or in the nut house and that baby ain't none of yours? Like, come on, Dylan.
Sarah?
You know, I feel like Kiki and Morgan need to take like a hooked on phonics class together, because those two can hold a conversation. Morgan can't tell the love of his life because she's wearing a wig. Kiki can't not drink and drive, which is, I think, pretty much the stupidest thing anyone can do is drink and drive. And not, you know, she just, both of them can barely just get a sentence out properly. I feel like just need some help.
Mel.
I have Morgan Corinthos because if you sleeping, you having sex with this woman with this wig on and you don't know that is a wig, number one. And number two, you don't realize that's the same you've been hitting for a year ago. You don't know that? Baby, I would tell you to read a book, but I'm not sure you can read, so.
Jamie?
Well, we're in the same theme, but I have written out here everyone in Port Charles who thought Denise DiMuccio was anyone other than Ava Jerome. So basically everyone but Sonny was one big dumbass in 2015 for believing that this woman was Ava's suddenly appearing twin sister.
Well, I also have someone from General Hospital, but, and I'm surprised this wasn't even an honorable mention for someone, because we've mentioned her a lot, Tracy Quartermain, because she was an idiot about Luke.
Oh, yeah.
And there was no excuse for it, none whatsoever, and it was just bad, bad, bad. Einstein Award of 2015, the smartest character is Mike.
Steve Johnson. He came back to Salem and knew that Bo had not abandoned his family, because he knew that he would not do that, and he was the one that was instrumental in finding him, so he seemed to be the smart one.
Okay, Jillian?
I have Adam Newman. Adam was smarter than the average bear boy. Mm-hmm. He showed that he is actually the heir apparent. I mean, Victoria had moments, but Adam just proved that he's smart in business, he's smart streetwise, and he'll always come out on top. But go ahead, Adam.
Sarah?
Runner-up to Spinelli for instantly recognizing Jason from seeing his ass in jeans and then eventually taking the steps to get the proof it is Jason.
Spinelli's an ass man.
But yeah, Spinelli's
not
a Jason man. Spinelli's a Jason man, is what I'm saying. But my true smart character of the year is Sammy Brady for getting the Demira money, sticking it to Belle in Belle's PayPal, as Jamie said, and you know, doing this all in a matter of weeks, just from getting a letter. So I'm gonna give it to Sammy Brady.
While she's grieving her firstborn, she's on an adventure.
Yeah.
Belle?
I have Adam Newman as well, because he managed to hide the secret forever.
Yeah.
He's always weaseling and wiggling his ways out of it. Did nobody know? Chelsea knew. Chelsea knew the truth, and she still stayed with him. He's so damn smart and beautiful. So there we go. Adam Newman.
Jamie?
Bill Spencer on The Bold and the Beautiful. He outed Rick Forrester's woman as being transgender and still got an invitation to the wedding and Thanksgiving dinner. That's a smart man.
Yeah.
Mine was also Adam Newman, which has already been covered. Which brings us to the really big final awards of the year. First up, Soap Opera Scenery Chewer of 2015. Mike.
No contest, Tony Geary. And for all the reasons that you talked about and I've talked about before on other podcasts, hands down.
And it was not good scenery chewing.
It was painful.
Jillian.
Look, I like him. Y'all know we say it's an art form, but you just gnawed at that scenery until, you know, you may have some competition next year, though. That is Christian LeBlanc. Just, just, what you mean, aw. He ate that. He ate that like a fat kid loves cake, boy. Just Jesus. But Michael E. Knight is giving. Woo, Michael E. Knight, boy. Look at him. Michael E. Knight is just giving him competition. I'm like, good God. Like, that set is not safe. Like, as soon as you like put some set down, one of them gonna be like, it's mine, and just shoot the shit out of it.
Christian said they gotta give him a story.
I too am going with Tony Geary. I mean, Luke and Fluke and, you know,
Duke
Kook, whatever, everyone in, you know, the monster in the basement. I mean, it was just self-indulgent, because we know how good he can be, and that's almost what makes it worse. Like, he could, it's just he was so married to this idea of that Luke should be as despicable and awful and as possible, and, you know, this is what we got. This is what happens when you cater to an actor too much.
Mel.
I also have Tony Geary, and it's for that scene where he's screaming at that corpse in the basement. Tony Geary ate the 101. Like, we have passed the scenery in the set. He is eating the 101. It was, and it was bad. So there we go.
It was terrible.
Oh, it wasn't. There you go.
Jamie?
Peggy McKay on Days of Our Lives. I love Brady, but...
That was my runner-up.
Those psychic visions and looking in that damn mirror and seeing dead Sean. Sean! Always in trouble! And Kayla, mama, shut up. You don't shut up, I'm gonna take your ass back to the home, mama. I done told you, quit embarrassing me. But your brother's in trouble, Kayla! You know, that was not cute. I have seen her choose some good scenery over the years, you know, during the Devil Possession storyline, whenever Sammy would tell her she was an old hoe, you know, it worked because it would be funny, you know, Wancha Fairy, you know, but this, bless her heart, all she had to do was get the script, but psychic Big Mama Caroline did not do her any favors.
My soap opera scenery chewer of 2015 is Anthony Geary. Because not only did he chew scenery here in the U.S., it went international. It was in Canada. It went over to Greece. this last year we had the Greece economic collapse. That's because Tony Geary chewed everything, every asset. That's how bad it was. Anthony Geary, it was terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. Hall of Shame.
We are on a soap legend, ain't we, y'all? Lord Jesus.
No. Okay. So.
Well, no. If he was doing well, which he
well,
has.
Well, that's you telling all of the GH's ratings are due to Castle's Tower.
No, I never said that.
That's what you get. See, try to save you, but you don't wanna.
Hall of Shame, Mike.
Every executive, every actor, every person connected to General Hospital who has a Twitter account and needs to show out on it, shame on you. All of you. You know who you are. Stop it.
Hey!
Don't mind, because that I'm literally looking at my list. Apparently, I can't talk because this podcast is going
to... Don't stop it. We need the
but
hits.
It stars showing out and celebrities showing out on Twitter is mine as well. Jillian?
Mine is one in particular, and I don't care if it happened months ago, it could have happened minutes ago. It still bothers me, and to think what you're... Anyway, I'll get back to that. But Hall of Shame would be Nancy Lee Grand trying to come for Viola Davis in her moments at the Golden Globes. See the Emmys. They have not had a woman of color win, period. A woman of color finally wins, and she's talking about knocking down barriers, not only for women, not only for blacks, but for women of color, period. And you want to hop your happy ass on Twitter and tell her what she should and should not do? Who do you think you are? You need to stay and park yourself in that lane.
She went to visit... She visited Dr. King's daughter.
Yeah. Because when you go to the King Center, all of your sins just—watch out now. All of your sins absolved. If that was the case, then when my ass used to live in Atlanta for almost 10 years, I should have just been driving a busload of KKK members to the King Center so they could be saved and holified again for not being a dumbass. Just do your job, shut the fuck up, and keep it pushing. How about that?
Sarah?
I'm going to say go with the events that transpired at the General Hospital fan club that got periscoped with people, with actors blaming Ron Carlovati for everything when, you know, a week ago they loved him. I mean, that was just tacky in general, and just how you should behave at an event representing your show that is an official event. That is just inappropriate. That show needs a publicist. So I'm going to also give Hall of Shame to ABC for not hiring a GH publicist.
GH needs Jesus.
Mel?
Mine is Tony Geary for his exit interview when he left GH with Michael Logan. Yeah. That was so just, it was disrespectful. He had such this his nose is in the air, and I was just like, you are just not thankful for anything. You just should be so happy and blessed that you got to be on that show as long as you did, and they awarded you with so many awards and all these things, and you couldn't care less. You were just like, bye, I'm leaving this shit, blah blah blah, don't care, didn't like this person, didn't like that person, I don't know why I stayed on this shit so long. Like, it was just disgusting. He really was like, that's how it came off, and I didn't like any of that. You need to get a better attitude, sir. So, Hall of Shame, Tony Geary.
Jamie?
My Hall of Shame was whoever allowed Will Horton and Bo Brady to be killed for the 50th anniversary of Days of Our Lives. I loved the scene because as a fan of Bo and Hope, I felt that they gave me a good final scene. But I just can't imagine the pitch meeting where Josh and Dina said to Ken and Greg, Ken Corday and Greg Ming, so this is our plans for the 50th. We're going to kill Will Horton and Bo Brady. Won't that be, like, totally awesome? I just, maybe I don't know what the hell I'm critiquing, because I'm like, you know, I hope that when Grey's Anatomy celebrates its 15th, anniversary, they won't bring back Yang to kill her and Meredith off. That's not what happens. I hope when Scandal celebrates, you know, season 8, 10, whatever, they don't just, you know, have Fitz and Olivia go down on a plane together. I hope that's not.
They bring
happens.
Columbus Court Short back to be like, surprise.
You'd have to be, for that example to work, it would have to be a popular character. You know, I mean, I hope that NBC doesn't do a limited reboot of Friends and then, you know, have Phoebe Buffay die of, you know, cancer while Joey gets hit by a bus. I hope that no one would do that, but maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. And maybe this is just spectacular drama. And maybe for Christmas, Ben will come in there and smush Tom and Alice's ornaments and stuff them down Julie Williams' throat and choke her to death. And then everybody on Twitter will tell me how stupid I am for not realizing the majesty of
No, this. They're going to tell you you're stupid because that's what Alice wanted.
This is the best soap opera I've seen in months, I keep seeing. I'm like, really? Some of y'all need some Seroquel.
Mike, no shit.
Mike.
People who might write something like this need their medication adjusted. I'm sorry. Okay.
My Hall of Shame, I already mentioned it, is people showing out on social media and Twitter, stars, celebrities, executives. And part of it is because I've just lost so much respect for people. When you watch someone on screen and you see them come into your television, into your living room or bedroom or whatever the case is, 5 days a week, you think of them as family. You respect them for their performances. You cheer their the characters' highs and lows. And then when you read about stuff in, say, the magazines or on DC, when they're having children or whatever, you're happy for them. And then these people get on social media and show out and threaten to break knuckles and basically criticize historic moments. And, or if you're an executive, basically do Varney Vision. And it makes you lose respect for a genre that doesn't get enough respect for what they do day in and day out. And it just makes it that much more difficult to cheer them when they have successes, because they are systematically undermining the good graces of the fans because of how they're showing out. Just because you're a celebrity and just because you're entitled to an opinion doesn't mean you need to say it. The Charity Raymer Award for babies who don't know where they are. If this is not a six-way tie or a six-way unanimous vote, I will be shocked.
You're going to be shocked.
Mike, we're watching another show.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you'll agree with me, but this baby has won 2 Emmys. Hunter King has been horrible this year.
Whoa!
I just don't No, I can't say that it's the writing, because everybody has had pretty crappy material on that show, and not everybody has done a really crappy job, Sharon Case. So I just – she's a standout for me as somebody who has ascended to the top when she had some good material and now is just a horrible, whiny person. And I just – I think that she's just playing this – she is Phyllis's daughter. Come on. I know what you guys are all going to say.
Jillian?
What? I haven't seen her, the king, in 6 months, and she's still on the show.
Jillian?
Jillian, yeah. The charity Rhema should be also co-signed as the Haley Aaron Award, because Lord, in the morning... She needs to find where she's at. She needs to find the bus to pick up and find her way home, because she is just so I try. Yes, I do. Despite what y'all think, I tries. Lord knows I tries to give people the benefit of the doubt with acting. I'm like, maybe it is the material. Well, it's not the material. Maybe it is the directing. I'm like, girl, bye. Like, Jesus himself is like, can't do it. Can't do it. Nope, 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 nope. She's just horrible in the role. I mean, just horrible. I'm just hoping and praying in 2016, GH gets their shit together. St. Francis and Varnishka finally just say, you know what, we got to charge this to the game and get rid of her, because she's not some ingenue that's going to be taken daytime by storm. She's going to be storming daytime, all right, but not in a good way.
Y'all remember
what about her time on YNR that made them think that
I don't
she
know.
Was...
I
remember the last GH actress we felt this way about? She went on to the CW for a starring role. What's her name? I used to call her I Am Acting!
Lindsay Morgan.
Lindsay Morgan. But what were you saying before that movie?
Haley Aaron will be in a Shondaland, the lead in a Shondaland show next
don't
year.
Don't you say that, you
mark
shut your
words.
The role of Quinn is now played by Haley Aaron. What I was saying, Jillian, is I don't understand what the team at General Hospital, when if they would have looked at any of her scenes from when Haley Aaron was on YNR.
I'm going to answer that for you. I believe Mark Teshner was out on vacation, because I don't believe this is Mark Teshner's doing.
he was kidnapped.
I believe Frank has hijacked Mark, because all these himbos and models.
Yeah, that's not Mark. Let's be real.
I'm
just going to go ahead and then we can go. I believe Frank thought that this would have been a guess. I think Frank would have thought that, oh, I'm going to snatch and grab her, and thought that would have been a huge get, and it backfired.
Even when One Life was incredible, they had some, you know, remember the girl they had as Tina's daughter?
Frank has a type, both female and male.
I feel as though Frank, with this, I feel as
shallow
though,
casting.
This is all, Mark Teshner, let's just be real. Mark Teshner's always had a stable of good actors. We always used to joke. Well, not joke. We always said the truth. That GH had great actors, but they would have shitty storylines, but they would bring it. Now it's just like...
Both are shitty.
All these models and himbos. You know, that's one thing I can say. Guza and JFP never had this many newbie, vapid nobodies running around. Vapid little nothings everywhere you look.
Sarah?
Now, I too went with Haley Aaron. I'm as baffled as you are. And then I was just looking at her other credits, and I realized, we're like, how did she end up here? And then I see between Young and the Restless and General Hospital that she guest starred on all of these Disney Channel and ABC family shows. And I'm like, is she somewhere in the Mouse House pipeline? No, but I'm saying it's like the Mouse House, like, cutting for her in some way. Did she have some deal with her? You know, they for some reason like her? Because I am just trying to figure out how this happened. But so that's my theory.
This baby might be the first person to win this award from multiple soaps, because Haley Aaron got this award when she was on The Young and the Restless, and guess what? She gets it again on General Hospital. She's awful. She doesn't know where she is. If you gave her a map and a GPS system, she still wouldn't know. She just.
I don't know how to. Who is that talking? Why are you calling me Suri Cruz? Suri will be like, what the hell is going on? Who is Suri Cruz? Why are you talking to me, Suri Cruz? My name is Kelly. God.
Let's all
Jamie.
There we go.
Wait. Okay.
Jamie.
Why are you calling me Jamie? My name is...
It's Haley Aaron, and you know... I keep wanting her to get better so I can stop feeling this way. But, you know, thinking back to the aftermath of the Valerie Dante stuff with those children in there and, you know, her getting drunk and just overacting. You don't know you don't love me, Morgan. What are you doing with Darsa? And then Darsa is over there. These burgers are good. I'm like, what in the hell is this? This is the same show that gave me Karen Wexler and Jason and Brenda and Jagga Kate. You know, and so I was like, okay, still trying to give her the benefit, hoping she'll get better. Watched the most recent episode of GH. And they had a scene where Ava shows up to try to bond with Kiki, and Kiki is bussing tables at Courtney Court, and Carly is over there talking to Morgan. You know, they're just two tables away, so it's not like they're even that far away from each other. And all of a sudden, well, at first Kiki was like, I don't want any trouble, Mom. Carly, this is my first day, and you need to leave. And, you know, Mar West is just in an even tone. Yes, honey, I know, but I just wanted to see you. And then cuts over to Carly and Morgan, and then all you hear is, get out of here! No! And glasses break. And, you know, that stupid-ass girl done threw the glasses down. You know, Ava is sitting there thinking, why didn't I have an abortion 20 years ago? And this is what we have come to. It's like... They wouldn't have even written that scene for Kirsten Alderson because
no, they wouldn't
had
have.
To write down to this girl's capabilities. So I guess they were like, well, we can't have her have a bunch of dialogue with Maura. That would have worked with Kirsten Alderson, but let's just have her throw some props. She can probably do that, right? Right, guys? Everyone? Sure. No! And then Carl's looking at her like, oh, why are you breaking my glassware and stuff? You know Olivia ain't helping me raise money for this hotel, and I'm trying to do it by myself. You know, I was just like, I can't with this character anymore. She is Charity Raber's heiress apparent. It's like Charity Raber showed up in a sparkly gown with a wand with a star on it and topped her on the head. Well, actually, she probably missed a head, hit her in the eye, because we are talking about the two of them. Oh, I hit you in the eye!
Yeah, but the thing that is keeping this as the Charity Raymer Award and not the Haley Aaron Award is the inappropriate sexual chemistry that you have with
the worst I've ever seen.
No, I think what's her face was like beat was she it should have been named after her. Yvonne Zimmer. Good.
No.
Charity Raymer, you know, no. Charity is like, you are not going to take my bad acting crowd away from me. Go look at YouTube and Google Charity Raymer.
You can't. It's Someone's bad. Pulled them
off. Oh, have they taken them down?
Probably yes. Charity.
Ooh, that baby didn't know. She was old.
Oh, it was terrible. It's like, unbelievable. Okay, mine is also Haley Aaron for everything that's already been said. In the interest of time, I won't go into it any further. The Megan McTavish Award for Special Achievement in Serial Drama Dismantling goes to Nathan Vardy.
Mike. I found some Charity Rainbow scenes on YouTube. I show them to you.
But the ones with Drake?
Oh.
I can't find any of the ones with Drake anymore.
We'll do that later. Let's hit it.
Mike?
Chuck Pratt. He came in with a bang, and I feel like a lot of the characters on The Young and the Restless, aside from a couple, they're disconnected. They're not who they are. There have been some really bad story choices, and I don't, you know, the music in the background is horrible and distracting, and I just really have a hard time sitting through an episode of The Young and the Restless.
Oh, that's Jill. The music is Jill.
Whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all connected together.
Jillian?
Oh, he just called you.
they both are. They're both on there. Is aren't they both co
EPs? Yep. That's true. But Jill does handle the music. That's her bag. Unless Chuck done took that from her. That would be a tie. That is coming from poor Charles St. Francis Valentini, because you know he cannot do any wrong. Oh my God. And Varnishka, there you have it.
Sarah,
I'm actually gonna go with the team at Days of Our Lives. I don't know exactly who is responsible for what, but that decided, hey, let's kill off character legacy characters. I will give you Bo Brady if Peter Reckel really wanted to just be done with it and with the show. There was no need to kill off Will Horton. If you're not happy with the actor, send him out of town, bring back a recast. There is no need to just, I mean, the killings, the left, right, and center killings, the violence, the bleakness. That's not how you want to celebrate the 50th anniversary, by being depressed and thinking like, ooh, I better cheer up by watching like an episode of The Leftovers or something. I mean, this show is so damn dark that it's just depressing to watch. And it's such a strange choice to make for the show. And it, you know, I don't know. You can't bring Will Horton back from the way he died. Well, I mean, it's just, why would you do that? That was just, why would you think that was the direction to go in? That's all I'm saying.
Mel?
I got Chucky, because he destroyed my Young and the Restless. Like, and Jill Farren fuck up too, because you don't get...
Ooh, Melanie Echo!
Yep, I sure did. That was all Amy's credit for that name. Fantastic. But no, she's not escaping my wrath either. I could not watch The Young and the Restless. I turned it off for months. I turned it off. That's how terrible that show was. The characters were unrecognizable. And it's like, I've loved this show forever. And I had to turn it off. You know it was bad. You know
I
it was.
Do.
So they can share that award however they want to.
Jamie?
I do not have one, and I will explain why. I thought about this long and hard. There's no denying that I am not a fan of Nathan Varney and what is going on behind the scenes with him, you know, and his tentacles at GH. But at the end of the day, for me, when I think of Megan McTavish and Poisoned Pancakes and, you know, why we named this ward after her, it's because of moves that ended up killing soap operas. Now, of course, we know that, you know, All My Children was not canceled on Megan's watch, but we felt like she dealt it such death blows that, you know, the subsequent regimes, you know, just kind of ushered it on into the ground. I can't say that I feel anyone did that this year in daytime. We at Daytime Confidential give strong opinions, and that's what we're here for. And I do feel that there are some destructive forces, but they've managed to, or maybe it's Soap Zeus that has managed to keep his children at bay. Because at the end of the day, as we get ready to close 2015, The Young and the Restless, The Bold and the Beautiful, Days of Our Lives, and General Hospital are all still on the air, despite, you know, a lot of reports out there. None of them seem to be in imminent danger. You know, there was a very spot-on report by Soap Fans United, from what I've, you know, checked out with my sources, about there could definitely be another regime change at GH if things don't turn around soon. But there's not a lot of talk of canceling any of them right now. And That's a small win, but it's a big win in a way, because we all know that if one goes, it'll just be another trickle down and we'd lose them all just like that. So I have to say that despite my disdain for many of the people behind the scenes in daytime, they're keeping the lights on. And so I don't feel anyone merits the Megan McTavish Award for me for show dismantling this year. I'm not happy that they fired Ron and that, you know, Frank and Varney and Vicky get to skate, because I feel like if the show was terrible, it was a collective terrible. So why did these other people get to keep their jobs? Specifically Frank, because he and Ron were a team. And, you know, why is he praised by every actor you talk to, but Ron is considered, oh, that evil writer, the writer? It's like, I sometimes feel Frank talks out of two mouths, and I do find that distasteful, but I don't find it Megan McTavish worthy. So that's me.
Mine is Nathan Varney, because I feel like this is a person who might be getting inappropriate credit for things that happened at Once Upon a Time, and as a result has used that as his calling card to get in at General Hospital. And Once Upon a Time isn't in good shape, and General Hospital isn't in good shape. What's the common denominator? Varney.
Tell it.
Mike, we're down to the final two categories. Who are, or which shows are, your best and worst dramas of 2015?
Worst, it was kind of tough, but I went with Young and the Restless. I think I've had moments over the course of this year where I had a hard time watching General Hospital and I had a hard time watching Y&R, but I think overall it's been easier for me to stick with General Hospital, because most of the time the characters are okay and the stories are fairly okay. But Y&R, there is, you know, we've got Sharon again locked up with a crazy doctor. She's had more badass doctors than anyone in their lifetime would ever have. Another baby switch where Nick thinks another child of his is dead. Then there was, you know, that whole thing with Marco, which was endless. Kelly's change of personality multiple times. I just think that for me, Y&R, I mean, it has just fallen flat for me in a way that there's no cohesion. There's like all these independent little stories going on and there's just no integration at all. And it's hard to watch. I can watch it a couple times a week and feel like I'm caught up on it. Best for me, you know where I'm going with this, is Days. There were some moments, there was a lot of times when some of the stories were dragged out longer than they had to be, but they had some good moments with Will and Sonny and Paul, and then they had some the changeover where I thought that they've carried through some of the stories that were going in that direction. Like I think with Ben, it seemed a good progression for him. There were some jarring things that happened on Days, but overall, I know how everybody feels. I know the negative stuff about the darkness, but I like the darkness because they're embracing the darkness. They're just going there with it. It's a fast 45 minutes for me to watch it. When I watch General Hospital, I think they want to be mob oriented, but they're doing that thing where they're not embracing it and they're not going for it. And it's like, I'm okay with them being a mob show. If they want to be a mob show, then just go for it and do it. So worst was Y&R, best was Days.
Jillian?
Best one, Mike. It was really tough for me. It was down to either Days or GH. And lucky for you, Mike, I went back to poor Charles, because that fluke, duke, luchuke, muke thing was just
puke.
It was horrendous puke. I think I said puke. That was just, it went on too long. At the same time, the Jason story was going on at the same time. That was happening too long. And when those two long worlds just kept ugh, it was too much for me. Jesus, it was just too much. It was too much. And then you had Michael. Well, I liked Michael's takeover of the of just getting in, just getting Sunny, but that went on a little bit too long for my taste. And then you have the Denise DiMuccio. That went on too long. That was just stupid, and it was just unnecessary, and just it wasn't not funny, as Tammy Roman would say. It was just, I guess that was supposed to be lighthearted, but it wasn't. This was, and they launched it right after Moore West won the Emmy for them. They launched that right after she won the Emmy, and anybody who is not covering this genre but who happened to report that she won tuned in to see, they would not see the majesty that is Moore West. They would have been like, what the hell is this shit? It was just too much. It was team too much. And my best drama is going to be B&B. B&B had me on the edge of my seat waiting for it to come on. I always wanted to see what was happening. They had cliffhangers every single day. It was phenomenal. So I'm hoping more of that comes back in 2016.
Sarah, best and worst?
I'll start with the positive. For my best, I also went with Bold and the Beautiful for reasons that we've already discussed. A lot of it was based on what was going on in probably the first half of the year with the Rick and Maya storyline, which was, it was the best storyline of the year in daytime. The acting was great, and I'm also going to give them, Bold also gets extra points for being the having the best production values on daytime, and for just being a soap that is really both embracing being a soap and challenging itself to push out in new directions. The show isn't in its best at the moment, but I'm just going to trust that it will get through this patch. For the worst, I had to go with General Hospital, and it was tough choosing between, honestly, General Hospital and Young and the Restless. But I went with like how I feel, what the state of the show is at this moment, and I am more disappointed with General Hospital in part because I love it more and I have more of an emotional attachment, and they have so much goodness, so much talent, and they're just squandering it. They squandered the Jason reveal. They've squandered so many talented actors. They've undone everything that's good. And it's just like, I used to like want to watch it first on my DVR, and you know, and I'd come home to watch soaps, and now I don't. And that pains me.
Mm-hmm. Mel?
My worst, as no surprise to anyone should be, is The Young and the Restless. We have Victor getting Jack a doppelganger. We had Michael Baldwin having cancer, which could have been amazing, and then it wasn't. It was just awful. It was terrible.
Yeah,
we had the whole Neil, Devon, Hillary story. Well, Neil Winters is holding people captive. What the fuck? Like, that show is a hot mess. Okay. I had to turn it off. I couldn't even watch it anymore. That's how terrible that show got. So for me, by far, was Young and the Restless was the absolute worst. The best, on the flip side, was The Bold and the Beautiful, because it kept me glued to the screen for most of the year. Now it's fizzling out a little bit, but you know what? It's going to happen. That's the way these shows go. But the Rick and Maya story was great, and I liked Ridge and Caroline in the beginning, too. And the side characters as well, and you know, with especially with Ivy and Liam and Steffi, and my Steffi came back. Come on, how could I not love that? For me, Bold and Beautiful, it always seems like it'll get a little wonky, but it'll pull it back together fast, you know, and it'll have great drama and cliffhangers and everything you love about soaps for me. So, Bold and the Beautiful, best of 2015.
Jamie? Best and worst?
My worst is Days of Our Lives. It broke my heart in 2015 in a lot of ways. Again, I waited for this 50th anniversary with bated breath. This show is the only one of my beloved NBC soaps that I have left. I grew up an NBC baby. Those were the ones that I rushed home. We watched Y&R. I've said this before, but that was more my grandparents' show. I was always like, why is that show so slow? But Days, Another World, Santa Barbara, those were my licks. Those are, you know, I lived for those super couples. I lived for that high romance and, you know, would argue with my friend Timmy, who was an ABC soap fan, because I always thought those shows were so, you know, bogged down in their, you know.
Really?
Yeah,
Timmy's
a...
Why am I friends with you then?
He loved that ABC. We used to argue about who was better, Vicky and Dorian, Iris, and Rachel. But anyway, you know, so Days is my heart and soul. I love it. So when I see all these people, oh my God, he's just being mean to them because they don't give him scoops. I'm like, you're a dumbass, first of all, because B&B doesn't give anybody scoops. And it's my best of the year, just like everyone else on this podcast. So if it's about who gives me scoops, it wouldn't be Days. I mean, you know, it wouldn't be, I wouldn't be praising B&B because they don't tell anybody anything. But no, I mean, it is organic from my gut. Days was a hot mess in 2015. I have to first say with Gary Tomlin and Chris Whitesell, what the hell happened, guys? I was your ride or die. I was defending you when people were like, y'all should be flogged. I really thought when they were good, they turned out good soap opera, but they proved to be only as good as the stars they had, because post E-Jammy, they didn't know what the heck to do with that show. I mean, from...
It was laughable.
From, yeah, from Ben and his daddy driving so much story, you know, with every, you know, these megalomaniacs. Stefano is an international megalomaniac who once, you know, commandeered an army of Marlenas to make everybody wonder where the real Marlena was, but he couldn't best, you know, a heroin dealer from the Ozarks or whatever. I never even really knew what that guy was doing that was so illegal. It was, you know, another Sonny Corinthos. It's like, what is he actually even producing that's wrong? But they, you know, Victor and Stefano couldn't best him. Ben and Hope, who managed, I mean, not Ben and Hope, Aiden and Hope managed to be popular with a segment of the audience, you know, with their light rom-com type storyline, but it was pretty boring to me. And then you had the new regime come in, and, you know, high hopes. We're getting all these, we're bringing back Stephen Nichols, we're bringing back Peter Rickle, we're doing all of this. And, you know, at the start of the serial killer story, I was cheering because I'm like, hey, that killer's killing all the right people. You know, Melissa Archer's character, Paige, but then you kill Will. And I'm sorry, that's the dumbest shit I've seen in daytime in a long time, to kill a character who the show has been centered around in a lot of ways for 20 years for short-term shock and awe. Patch coming back and most of the storyline being about Kayla thinking he's a deadbeat scrub when she knew he was off trying to save the world. I mean, so when the Secret Service people come, or not Secret Service, you know, when the CIA comes back from trying to take down the Taliban or whatever in real life, do their, you know, women think, oh, you're just a deadbeat? It's like, I don't buy that. I don't buy that he wasn't sending checks home for that kid, you know, and to overkill it. I mean, they did that same story with every hero on the show. Even Marlena started getting greasy about Roman. I'm like, I mean, John, you know you fell in love with an international man, a mystery. What are you tripping about? You know, what busted them up was John sniffing around Kristen. It was not his work in the ISA. So that came out of nowhere for me. And, you know, then with these serial killings, even the ones that I didn't mind, it just took the show into this dark, ugly place where I couldn't use Days of Our Lives as escapism anymore. You know, I can watch Quantico, which is a show about the FBI and terrorism, and I find it more escapist and romantic than Days of Our Lives. With everything that's been going on in the world this year, with mass shootings and things like that, people want to tune in to television and escape. That's why Dolly Parton's Coat of Many Colors did so well the other night on NBC. And I'm not saying daytime needs to be all love and kumbaya, because Lord knows I wouldn't want it to be an Ellen Wheeler type show. But there needs to be balance. There needs to be levity. You know, in the past when Days did serial killer storylines, there was Calliope Jones making everybody laugh. Or there was Vivian and Yvonne doing goofy stuff. There's none of that on Days now. There's no humor. There's no light. There's no love. There's just these dark, ugly storylines. And for me, again, that broke my heart for this show's 50th anniversary.
And your best?
My best is The Bold and the Beautiful. The Bold and the Beautiful for, you know, 9 months out of the year was the best soap opera airing in daytime. The lead up into the transgender story was already good. You know, Rick and Maya versus Ridge and Caroline, that was hot soap opera. I've loved the heck out of everything they've done with Thomas. He feels like an old school Lothario prick. We haven't seen that type of character in a long time in daytime. He reminds me of Jake McKinnon. You know, that character that's just an unashamed, you know, woman hound. I didn't like the whole did he rape her type thing. It's like, do we have to always with, you know, Bold is one of those, I get mad at YNR for doing cliche stuff. You know, Brad, it's time to retire the let's sleep with the woman while she's asleep or sedated. It's just, that's ugly. And in this climate, you know, I'm sorry, you got to stop that. That's, you can't have a guy, you mess up a guy's romantic viability if you do that. Because that's rapey. It's rapey. And I know, you know, Bill Bell has, you know, Bill Bell did that on pretty much every soap.
It's rape. Ugh.
You know, stop with the, well, you know, I mean, in that case, it wasn't really rape because he didn't know she was, you know, drugged out on Pam's medicine.
So then I guess it's the same thing you could say for Ridge because Ridge did that to Brooke.
Yeah, Ridge did it to Brooke, and Ridge also slept with Caroline Sr.
Ridge
was
raping. Ridge is a rapist.
You know, they're just, it's too rapey. It's like, you don't have to do that to make a good Lothario. It's like, let the woman want to sleep with him in her right mind and deal with the consequences of that as opposed to these incoherent moments. But that being said, I love Thomas. He finally has a dick and a ball sack. The other Thomases never had that, in my opinion. They were just these neutered little boys. I love Caroline. We've talked so much about the transformation of Maya. Lindsay Godfrey is such a goddess, too. She's really made that character her own. Her performance when she woke up, believing, you know, not understanding how she ended up in the bed with Thomas was riveting and really scary because, you know, it flipped it for me because I was like, ooh, Thomas and Caroline are sexy. And then I'm like, oh, my God, what did you do to Caroline? But, you know, I do feel like everyone else on the podcast that they do have to figure out a way to tell more than two or three stories at a time because you do have this great canvas of people who had pretty much nothing to do. And that is a problem, but I will say that what they did and the characters they used, it was the best. For me, I really felt B&B brought the thunder. It still looks like a well-produced television show. Brad reinvests in his product. He doesn't hide behind the whole licensing fees were slashed, so that's an excuse to put a show on television that looks shitty. You know, he could hide behind that same excuse that Days of Our Lives does. I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You don't have to put a shitty-looking show on because licensing fees have been cut. That's when you spend your own money. If you have to, you film at your own family homes like Brad does, and you figure out a way, you get creative to still put out the best product you possibly can. And if Brad Bell can still do it, so can the rest of them. And I just feel he set a gold standard in 2015.
My best and worst. Worst is General Hospital. For the entire year. It wasn't one regime over the other. Both of them had equally bad problems. In the first half of the year, we had Luke's exit, which I've already touched on. We had Denise, which has already been mentioned. We had so many characters being written out of character. We had stupid things like Olivia and that baby with Julian, and every time you turned around, General Hospital in the first 6 months was watchable because you were watching a train wreck happen and you couldn't look away. And whether you love Ron or not, even when he is making what I might consider to be mistakes, there's still mistakes that I want to tune in to see. When in the second half of the year, when we're watching what's going on, basically all the same mistakes are being made, but everything is so boring and everything is so earnest and everything is so talk, 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 talk. Fuck it. Can't they just provide some drama? And I love a good character-driven, intense drama if you're going to write that. If you are going to try and write a story like, say, The Good Wife, so be it. But at least create some drama. There's no drama on, for the most part, on General Hospital now. Every storyline is pretty much a boring culmination, a boring execution. There, if there are moments, like, and I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, if there are moments that are good on General Hospital now, it's because we have characters who we've watched for years interact, and they're bringing that history to the scenes, i.e. Carly versus Elizabeth, Sam versus Elizabeth, those scenes. But when you start working on scripts with new characters that are like Valerie or portrayed by new actors like Dylan or Jason, there's nothing there, and the bottoms just fall out from under them. It's terrible. It's boring. You can stop your sleeping medication prescription because you're watching General Hospital. The Bold and the Beautiful was the best soap for me in 2015, but there's a caveat. They were great for 6 months and then coasted.
I think if they kept it up, honestly, if they I would have picked them because – it faltered so much for me. It went right back to what I hate the most about it, which is the longest 20 minutes ever on television.
When Bold the Beautiful is on fire and is delivering things like the transgender storyline, there is no one who can beat them. And I am not a Bold the Beautiful fan for the most part. It is not the soap that I gravitate to. It's not the one that I have a long history with. So for me to give it best soap is a big deal. Mm. But I still feel like they phoned it in for the last 6 months. Their first 6 months was so good and hit such heights that they could coast for the last 6 months and still win best drama for me. But now we're back to recycling the same old scripts, insert the same characters with a new third person. And if that's what they're going to do once again in 2016, I have not much hope for 2016 because what else could they pull out now? That having been said, I don't want to undermine the fact that they had a really good 6 months. Mm-hmm. The individual performances, Maya with her parents, the revelation with Nicole, to a lesser extent, the stuff that happened with Forrester, Caroline was written well. Good characters were introduced or recast. There were a lot of good things about it. So for me, Bold and the Beautiful, best drama of 2015, General Hospital, the worst. I'm going to go around the circle real quick. If anybody has any final thoughts, something that wasn't covered in this 5+ hours worth of recording. Mike, final thought?
Okay, starting with me. I really don't have a final thought. I said that I watch all these shows because I podcast, but I think when we do this, we all want the best. So, I have high hopes that the soaps will, right their ships. I know there's a lot of shows right now that seem to be in between writers and regimes, and they're trying to fix what they didn't like and undo other stuff and create new stuff. And it's just got to even out. So hopefully 2016 will be a good year for that.
Jillian, any final thoughts?
My final thought is I'm very hungry. And when I get off this podcast, I'm going to get up. because I'm hungry.
Whoa. Sarah?
How about getting overtime pay?
Sarah? Have we lost Sarah?
Sarah might be gone. Sarah got hungry and
left. Sarah fell asleep.
Sarah said, I'm hungry too.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. I'm hoping that 2016 will be a better soap year than 2015 overall.
Word. Word.
Mel?
I have an honorable mention for a worse storyline. I didn't like the way they wrote off Avery Clark on The Young and the Restless. Hated the way they ended up. They had somebody rape that character, and I hated that. That was an honorable mention for me. And that's all I have to say, and I'm with Jillian because I'm starving. So there we go.
Starving like Marvin up in here.
Okay, so I don't have any honorable mentions, but I will say this.
Final thoughts.
Oh.
It's fine if you don't have honorable mentions.
My final thought is basically for the last 6 months of 2015, I felt very blah about daytime television. And I have had to figure out how to rediscover my love for the genre. I think covering daytime and watching so many shows that we loved get canceled, it can make you jaded, can make you bitter, can make you not be able to watch and just enjoy a show without going, oh my God, they're doing something that's going to kill it. And I hope, first of all, as a lover of the genre, that there is a renaissance slash resurgence in 2016. I'm talking storytelling, because it has to start on the page first. Casting, promotion, that really gets this genre back in the pop culture space of, wow, daytime can put out really incredible product and really incredible performers. And I think David O. Russell's comments about Joy and the actors that were in that movie gives me hope for that. I think that, you know, 13 million people tuning in to watch Dolly Parton's movie that starred a little soap actress gives me hope for that. You know, we can see this genre that we love once again be, I mean, it's always been the ugly stepchild of pop culture, even when it was wildly popular. But I think we can get it back to wildly popular. And I mean, we, the collective, we, the people who, of course, put these shows together, and then those of us who write about it and the fans, because I'm tired of hate watching. That is something I want to leave behind. I don't want to have hardly any categories for the bad stuff next year. I really pray that some Agnes Nixon, Bill Bell, Doug Marlin type storytelling comes back into vogue. You know, no more evil twins, no more amnesia. Basically they need to empower the whole writing teams that if, you know, I try to get anybody fired, but the moment your head writer says, what if we give Sharon an evil twin, that, you know, maybe, you know, the script writer can just punch you in the face or something.
That's so rude.
It just needs to be allowed, because at this point, somebody's got to do that. I mean, if you're not spoofing it like Jane the Virgin, then you don't need to do those type of dumbass storylines anymore. We have, and I also think, I know this is a long final thought, but soaps have got to pick back up the mantle of being edutainment. Bill and Agnes managed to do it, and there's a place for that. I look at Twitter, and I see how engaged Gene Passanante is in the social discourse of what's going on in this country. I want to see that on General Hospital. Mm-hmm. I want to see her thoughts about women's rights and Planned Parenthood in a show that has a hospital at its center. You know, Scandal is one of the most escapist shows on television. Olivia Pope gets kidnapped and the whole world wants to buy her 1 week. And then we're doing a Planned Parenthood filibuster, you know, juxtaposed to Olivia's abortion. It can be done. You know, that's the story I want to see. Instead of another Who's the Daddy, I want to see Teresa say, hey, you know, I was kind of, you know, having a good time there with the boys, and I don't really know who this kid's dad is, so I might want to consider terminating the pregnancy. And then deal with the ramifications of that, with her being Hispanic and Catholic, and, you know, then do a Planned Parenthood storyline with that clinic that they were going to do. I want to see more of that. I want to see what you're passionate about on Twitter in the show, because that's what Agnes Nixon would be writing. If she was writing Daytime Today, you know, if she was writing One Life to Live specifically today, Cord and Tina would learn that Little Flash was somewhere passing for black. You know, there would be some sort of story that reflects what's going on. There would be a college, Port Charles University would have a lawsuit because somebody thought TJ got in and shouldn't have been there. Instead of, you know, there would be those type of stories going on, as opposed to one more return from the dead and one more evil twin. It's like, if these shows get canceled, it's going to be sad. It's going to be a lot of people out of work. But it starts on the page, you know, to turn the genre around, it starts on the page. And I just really hope that they take that into consideration. I pray that all the network execs go back to doing what they were taught how to do in their business school courses, which is handle the business of things and leave the writing to the writers and the promotion to the promoters. And stop trying to micromanage every aspect of these shows. Stop colluding with the stars to get their own way because you're friends with them and shit like that. And just put these brands first. You know, how many times do we see a new Spider-Man movie? A new, you know, you look at Daytime. This genre started in 1937. And people have been able, by comparison, to reboot those same Marvel and DC comic book characters 50,000 times in 50,000 different ways, but it seems like Daytime is just like, we don't know what to do. We just, you know, let's just go ahead.
Jeez, you could go on YouTube and watch old stories if you...
Yeah.
I mean, to see if how... Just pick up the subtleties and see how it was done. I mean, they have entire storylines on all the shows that used to be on TV. You know, it's there. The resources are there.
I mean, right now, they just did a crowdfunding for Mystery Science Theater, you know, raised all millions of dollars to bring it back for 14 episodes. Somebody can be doing that for, you know, one of the soaps that have been off the air for a while. Peyton Place, you know.
I was going to say, it can't be no Prospect Park show.
Well, yeah, well, they probably have trouble getting anybody to donate. It's like, Fubi, what shame on you. But, you know, it's just like... Start thinking outside of the box again, as opposed to just telling these same stories. Brad and Co. at Bold and the Beautiful, the reason we're raving about them, even though, yes, you know, now we're back to white people electrocuting each other, but, you know, the transgender thing was like, whoa, somebody did something out of the box. No evil twin, no amnesia. No, somebody who we saw shot dead 5 times on the docks, coming back, surprise, I impregnated somebody. None of that dumb shit that Daytime gets laughed at for, to be honest. And I just really hope that we can get back to a place of that. Because I'm tired of hate watching it. I'm tired of hate watching this genre. I'd rather just give it all the way up, all together, than to continue. I don't want to be hate watching the last one. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Victor's dating Kirsten Alderson. I'm just tired of that. It's exhausting, and there's just too much real shit going on in the world to hate watch TV. So I pray that 2016 will be another... We're back, folks! Daytime is...
There's better stuff to watch.
Well,
I mean, we're talking about 4 hours or 3.5 hours a day. There's a lot more better stuff to watch on TV.
Yeah, and I don't want to.
Speaking of coming back,
I want to.
Yeah.
I want to love it. I want to be the one. You know, Mel, you used to talk about how you proudly defended your love for Guiding Light in University of Texas Film School. And I remember I was like, oh, girl, you know, because I know how, as with me, even at my little podunk college, when I would be like, yeah, I want to write soaps. What? You know, and that was in the 90s when they still had some cachet. But I want to be that person who proudly defends that I'm watching soaps every day, as opposed to, yeah, I'm watching that. And, yeah, you saw Carlos die last month. And, yeah, he's alive. And he's the father of some babies. I don't want to be embarrassed about the genre. And, you know, it, again, starts on the page.
Well, Jamie mentioned making comebacks in 2016. So I'm going to leave longtime listeners with this little cliffhanger. Jamie and I had a discussion, and we're going to be bringing back some top five episodes next year. So for those of you who've been bugging us about them, they are going to be coming back. I'm not going to say when, but we will be bringing them back.
You see my face right now, like, what?
Mel is happy, though she's hungry.
She likes top fives.
Mel need her ass.
I like top fives, too.
Ooh, Mel and Mike and myself and Sarah. Sarah, have you done top five?
I have not, but I look forward to it. Ooh. Top five virgin.
There we go. There we go.
She's going to have it taken from her like some quarterback in the back of somebody's El Camino.
Until 2016, because these best and worst episodes...
well, you basically
we'll
can.
That's 5 weeks.
You basically can edit five episodes. You know, do five.
Get him.
No, this
will be split up. This will be split up into two episodes. Normally, we do part one and part two because it normally ends up being about 4 hours. This year, it was 5.5.
So split it up into five portions. Bam.
Until 2016. So long.
Bye.